Hi, folks. We want to thank you for tuning into the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with our associate minister, Pastor Eric Howder. Now, this podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store. Right now, let's get to Pastor Eric's insightful message.
I remember reading from one of Daniel's newsletters in the past, and I might butcher this. You might have to correct it later, but it was a kid that didn't have shoes, and you provided him with a pair of shoes, and he didn't put them on because he didn't want to ruin his pair of shoes. He would rather go barefoot because he was afraid he didn't know the next time he would get another pair of shoes, and that to me kind of struck a nerve, and I'm just blessed to have you share and your ministry as well. And earlier this week, I went up to the Hope Outreach in Canton and had to drop off some things. And when I got up there to drop off what I needed to drop off, previous few times I've been there was nobody really around. So I was kind of in, kind of out, dropped off what I needed, and that was it. But this time, there was people there. So as I pulled up to the sidewalk, was taking out what I needed, a gentleman came up to me, and I didn't know if he was a volunteer there, if he was there to get some handout food there that they do every Tuesdays and Saturdays. I didn't know if he was just passing by. I really didn't know, but he came up to me and goes, "Why are you doing that?" I'm like, I tried to explain the best I could real quick what our garden here does as an outreach. And he goes, "Okay, but why are you doing that?" So I again tried in the simplest of terms that I could explain why I was there. I'm like, I'm just dropping this off again. And he's looking at my shirt, and I think it had Indian Run on it. And he goes, "Okay, well, why are you here?" Finally, I said, "Well, I'm just dropping this stuff off." And I don't know if that finally appeased him or maybe frustrated him even more, but he kind of shook his head and then off he went. And as I turned around and left, that was probably the longest I'd been there and a few times I've been there. As I turned around and left, I'm thinking, what did he want? What was he trying to ask? And I was thinking of the name, Hope Outreach. And so that kind of took this message in a completely different direction. And when Daniel's here, and then I started thinking about our ministries we support and our faith promise, those four ministries. And then we also support Jacob Bira with the wells in India. I started thinking about the word hope. And Mark read it in Scripture, the word hope. The word hope to me, as the more I thought, is an interesting word. When we talk about hope, when we think about hope, if you think about it right now, we think, oh, when I leave here, hopefully quickly than later, when I leave, I hope I have a good lunch. Or I hope it doesn't rain. Or I hope this week goes better than the previous week. Or I hope work goes smoother. But the word hope, as we think about it today, and the word hope in the Bible, are different. The kind of hope in the Bible is different than the hope we have today, because the hope in the Bible is a confidence. The hope we think about today, like, I hope the service doesn't last too long so I can eat. That's a probability. That's a thinking I wish, or I hope, a desire. The hope in the Bible is built on a confidence. And last week when I shared my favorite hymn, it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." The hymn expresses a confidence in the blood and righteousness of Jesus for our salvation. It's a confidence in knowing what we have. It's not a probability. It's not a possibility. It's not a what if. It's a confidence in understanding and knowing that's what we have. Confidence in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Last week I shared that Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, he told them, listen, you have to be more righteous than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And you remember in the context, the scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that the people in that time held to the highest esteem. And here Jesus is telling them, you need to be more righteous than those. But Peter writes now, as Mark read, he's telling us now to be always ready to give an account for the hope in you. Now at that time, Peter can only imagine what the faith of Christians or the religion of Christianity would blossom into or spread to. At that time, it was minimal. Peter didn't know at that time what it would go to, or how far it would spread, how large it would become. But Peter writes to always be ready. But what is hope? What is the hope that is in us? God the Father, out of His grace and love for us, gave His only Son on the cross. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, and then He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and the powers of the enemy. By the grace extended to humanity through Christ's death and resurrection, we can share in His victory over the grave. That is our hope. That is what we have confidence in daily. Through Jesus Christ, we can come before our Heavenly Father in that righteousness that is above all else and all others that we find in Christ. Now, Peter's first epistle that Mark read, those were believers that were facing persecution at the time. Peter's call to always be ready meant that believers had to be ready to answer objections to their faith, answer objections to Christianity. When the Christians in Peter's time were charged by the Roman state with atheism in order to recount their faith, they had to be ready to defend their hope in Christ despite threats of prison, torture, and death. Peter's instructions meant that believers had to already reflect upon the answer that they were going to give for their faith. We have a hope that is in us, which is full of life. We have life in Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. That is our identity. We identify with the living one, the one who once was dead, but now is alive forever. We live in a culture of death. We live in a culture of chaos. We live in a culture of uncertainty, a toxic culture at times. It doesn't take very long to find that out. Those that have been on the mission field find that rather quickly. Those that have traveled anywhere outside their normal residency find that rather quickly. Many people that we come in contact with on a daily basis have no hope. They have no hope because they don't have an identity. They have no hope. There's no identity in God. Without knowing the Lord of hope, there's no identity as parents, as spouses. Without God, without having an identity in God, a fetus has no identity. Therefore, it's easy to opt for abortion if the baby is not wanted. Without God, the elderly have no identity. Therefore, when they or others feel they are not productive anymore, it's easy to push them aside or cast them aside. Our identity as children of God give us life and give us hope. Where does our hope in life come from? It comes from that of Jesus Christ. Peter writes to give an account, be ready to give an account of that hope. Now, Jesus doesn't need defending. Jesus didn't even defend himself before the chief priest. Jesus didn't defend himself before Pilate or before Herod. Jesus knew and took his sentence on the cross. Yet God has given us the blessed opportunity to defend and show our hope in Him. We have the honor to be able to make a case for our hope that is found in Christ's death and resurrection on a daily basis. So how do we get to that point to show that hope we have in Christ? It's when we have a reverence for Jesus, have a reverence for what he did on the cross, have a reverence for the understanding of the resurrection, a reverence of having Jesus Christ, the Lord, in our hearts, which has the power to turn fear into hope, to turn the uncertainty and understand it in the certain of what God promises and provides. See, Peter writes and gives a Christian adaptation of a text from Isaiah chapter 8, 12 through 13. In the Old Testament, the Word of God gives us a lot of help on deciding what it means to revere the Lord Christ in our hearts. God gives Isaiah a warning in these verses about how he should feel about his unbelieving countrymen and about the Lord God. And it says in Isaiah, "For the Lord spoke this to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people call conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread." I want to read that again. "Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But reverence the Lord of hosts. Let him be your fear, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Peter takes this word of a God addressed to Isaiah about his adversaries and applies it to the Christians of his time. But it also applies to us today. Don't fear what they fear, but reverence the Lord instead. The reverence for Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. It's that fear of God that drives us to have that reverence in our heart for Jesus Christ. It's not the fear of man. It's not the fear of our daily interactions and daily tasks that we have with man themselves. Now it seems paradoxical to fear the Lord. But what God wants us to know, that he's all we need. All we need each day when we wake up is him, not man. Nothing man that can give us, nothing man that can provide us, will ever amount to the blessings and the creation that God has for us. God said, "Fear not, I am with you." I am with you, he says, not man. Now as I read through 1 Peter, and I've read it many times before, it's the foundation of apologetics, which is the defense of our Christian faith. It's the foundation I've always read and based why we should defend our faith, why we should give a defense of our hope. But as I read it this past week, it brought new insight to me. I can see how it can allow us to be more free in our daily life and our daily witness with our neighbors. It has become more clear, though, that the reason we aren't more free, the reason we aren't more natural when we leave a church service and go out amongst others that are the unchurched, the unbelieving, our friends, our neighbors, our family, the reason we are not free about the reality of our own hope in Christ is that oftentimes, many times, we ourselves don't feel very hopeful. And if our hearts are not full of hope in the promise of Christ, then what happens on the occasion when it arrives for us to give our hope in Christ to somebody else? See, if we become obligated or we sense it to be a duty to defend a doctrine instead of a delight to tell somebody why we are so hopeful, then we failed. See, when I met that gentleman on the sidewalk at the Hope Outreach, it didn't take me very much longer to continue driving that I realized that I failed in my communication with him. See, when we give our hope for Jesus Christ to whoever it may be, whoever may God direct us and their path, because it's never by accident. The Holy Spirit's already at work in many people that we come in contact with, that they just need to hear the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. It's not going to be you that does the transformation. That transformation's already begun. See, as I drove away, my thoughts began to think I failed. I wasn't brimming at the time with hope that I had for Christ. My only focus at that time was to do what I needed to do, get it done, and go on to the next thing. That gentleman there kept asking me questions. He kept asking, well, why are you doing this? In my mind, I failed. The hope that I have in Jesus Christ wasn't brimming at that moment. And as I've discussed with the missions that we support throughout the last few years, and I've talked with them, the one thing it always comes back to, the one thing they begin with when they speak, the one thing that I quickly learned from them, is that they always talk about the hope that they have. The hope that they have that someone will come to know Jesus Christ through the missions that they do. Having that joyful expression of Christ comes from our heart. That's how we're ready. Being ready is not something that we practice. Being ready to share what comes from our heart is not something we can practice. Being a witness to those around us, being the light in a dark world because of Christ, is not something we can practice. Something that's been a transformation that comes from our heart, that brims from our heart each day. We go to the Word. We pray to God. We fellowship with believers. We don't go to the Word to practice to give answers. We go to the Word because we are desperately needy. Our own hope needs to know Jesus Christ. We have fears that need to be overcome by the promises of God. Now think, you don't have to raise your hand, but think how many of us have fears. Now I know it's a Sunday morning. We walk in thinking we're perfect. We have no fears, anxieties. But in reality, we do. I could probably stand up for the next hour, and my wife can probably attest to this, stand up for the next hour and tell you the fears and anxieties that I've overcome, not by myself, but by the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. The fight of our faith is waged on our knees with the Word of God and prayer. We can emerge from an encounter with God daily with renewed and a lively hope in His promises, so we can be ready to make a case for our own hope to those around us. Now, Trish and Norma expressed about being put on the spot. And, you know, sometimes the Spirit moves you to outside of a comfort zone. And the Holy Spirit is just kind of tugging me right now to share just a little bit. My early 20s, I had no hope. I had a tremendous amount of fear, anxiety, but I had no hope. And when you have no hope, those around you begin to have no hope as well. Those that you're close to begin to have no hope as well. See, my hope and my promises relied on what was happening in this world. I myself tried to dictate what would happen in my own life. I had no hope. I didn't understand the word hope. There came a moment, one night. Now again, the Holy Spirit's already working. I didn't know it. And one night, as we later found out, as people were praying, I laid on the floor just asking Jesus Christ to take control and take over. Now, I don't like to say how old I am now, but that's been some time ago. The Holy Spirit works in ways we don't know. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in ways that people can see that we don't even understand. As we close today, and as I guess the two-man band now come back, this is always a time of invitation. If you don't have that hope of Jesus Christ to come forward, there'll be people to pray with you. But also, if you're sitting there today and you need someone to pray with you, you need that renewed focus of who He is, of hope, there's people to pray with you. Grab someone to pray with you. Come up front. There's people to pray with you. But as you leave today, please, as you leave, don't let the wall of Sunday come up and block us from sharing our hope through the rest of the week. When we go out here today, we don't know who we're going to come in contact throughout the week. Share that our hope with them in Christ Jesus.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.